right, it's Bill Leff. He's back in action. I'm Wendy Snyder. I'll be out of action, missing in action next week.
All next week, huh?
Thank you for holding the fort down, as I did for you, I have to say.
Well, it's only fair, then.
We have a show psychologist, and we have a show attorney, and he is Rich Lankoff. And, Rich, thank you, because someday we'll need you.
Sometimes it's both, right? Sometimes you got to combine
yes.
those.
So many times. Many, many times. All right, so we bring you on to talk about various legal issues. I know this is very fresh, and you probably haven't had time to digest it, but what do you make of what's going on with this Russian probe?
I mean, it's interesting timing, right? I mean, Trump is in England, and just at 11:30, we learned that 12 Russians have been indicted by the Justice Department as part of the Russian hacking probe. You know, I haven't seen Trump's reaction. I imagine it's either
nothing
out
up
or
on
imminent.
Twitter yet.
But his response is obviously going to be this still doesn't prove that there's any nexus between the Russians and my campaign.
That's true.
And, you know, his supporters have been saying consistently, I mean, as recently as last weekend, Giuliani was all over the Sunday shows questioning the Mueller probe, saying that this is the most corrupt probe in history. We saw yesterday the testimony of Peter Strzok before the House, and they were going after him, trying to find out the reason that the probe started and trying to allege that he was biased and that's why he was fired by Mueller. This is all part of the overall story. Again, Trump and his supporters are going to say that this doesn't prove that there's any connection between him and Russia.
But when Giuliani refers to this as corrupt, what exactly is he finding corrupt about it?
Well, he's saying that the allegation, I mean, no one's really attacking Mueller, right? I mean, everyone really thinks that Mueller's a Boy Scout, but they are saying that people like Strzok and the woman Page, the FBI agent who's testifying today, because of their bias, as evidenced by the texts that have been uncovered saying we're going to prevent Trump from being president and all these things. They're saying that that is the reason for the probe into Russia, and it doesn't have any actual substance. And Giuliani has said consistently, show us the evidence. If there's really evidence of collusion or obstruction, show us what you have. Now, of course, why would you show it to them? I mean, that's not how it works, right?
You hold
it. And they've also said, Giuliani and Trump supporters have said, you know, with all the leaks that have gone in the Mueller probe, we haven't heard a piece of evidence linking Trump to the Russians. Well, obviously. I mean, the report's not out yet. Most people are saying, let's wait until Mueller does his job, releases the report. That's when you'll see evidence, if there is.
But this should be reported first, and now if there is some evidence of collusion, wouldn't that probably follow this fairly quickly?
No question. I mean, all this, the 12 Russians who are indicted, these are all assets for the government. These are all strong moves for the Mueller probe to prove that there is this conspiracy. And remember, as a practical matter, as we've talked about in your show before, what you're getting in these indictments is potentially people who will give you more information. The value of these indictments, as is the case with Manafort, as is the case with many of the indictments we've seen in the Mueller case, is not necessarily for the underlying crime, right? What you're getting is the potential that one of these will flip on the bigger fish.
Yeah.
So that's the more assets you have, the more tools you have, the more likely it is that you'll get someone to spill the beans.
When you say there's the potential for one or more of these people to flip, is it to save themselves jail time? Is
Absolutely.
That the reason?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've seen it on TV all the time when people work out deals. That's what actually happens.
Yeah.
When faced with jail time, you know, people will flip. You know, the big fish, again, like Manafort, he knows a lot that he's probably not telling. Michael Cohen, right? We saw the Michael Cohen interview with Stephanopoulos about 10 days ago where people speculated that because he scrubbed his Twitter account and he now said to Stephanopoulos, well, my priority is my family. People are speculating that he's about to flip. So, you know, people can be brave and loyal up until the time that they're facing real jail time.
Once someone flips, does that water down everybody else's deal? Do they say, well, now we've got one guy?
Absolutely.
It does.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, listen, it's, you know, prosecutors will dangle the first one in. I mean, the first one in who grabs the deal, is going to get the best deal, right?
Yeah.
Because that is the most valuable piece of evidence. Now, if that person doesn't have all the information, then obviously their deal might not be as strong. But yeah, the first person in is generally going to cut the best deal.
All right. I have a question. With these indictments that came out today, perhaps there is upcoming evidence to show that there was collusion. I got to be honest with you. What happens? What happens if we do have that information? He's still the president.
Sure. I mean, then it would go to, I mean, all of this is part of, right, the bigger puzzle, including the election. I mean, the potential is that he would be impeached. That is the remedy, as we've covered on your show several times. So, you know, the November elections will determine a large part about whether the Republicans have enough votes to fight an impeachment. The reality is, though, how strong will this evidence be? Impeachment is largely a function of, I think, public sentiment as to whether the votes are there. And the votes are going to be there if the representatives feel that the mood of the public is in favor of impeachment. So the remedy, to answer your question, is impeachment. Whether this is strong enough along with everything else, who knows? I mean, the big question is whether
there will be riotous moments everywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, the big question is whether the Mueller report will be released before the November election. That is really the key element in my mind. And will that happen? Probably not. I mean, we're already in July. You know, this might be a big piece of evidence. We don't know. This is all breaking now. But, you know, for the report to be released by the November elections, we'd really have to see something by September. We're already in, you know, middle July. It's unlikely that Mueller will be done. But who knows? Really, nobody knows what's going on with Mueller and his and the extent of his investigation.
The president alluded to a couple months ago that if it came to it, he could pardon himself. Are we heading in that direction? And if he does do that, what does that do? What does that mean?
Yeah, it could be. And I do think that, you know, a strict interpretation of the pardon power, personally, I think it does allow Trump, by the technical letter of the law, to pardon himself.
No, now, this is no president's ever done this.
No,
right?
President's ever done it. It's not in the spirit of what, you know, that part of the Constitution allows. It is the contrary argument. But of course, this is uncharted territory. Whether he will, I think it's certainly within, you know, the Trump world to do that. It's certainly something he would do. And a big question is the Supreme Court. Later today, we're taping our show, Legal Face-Off. We're having two former Supreme Court clerks on to discuss Brett Kavanaugh, who's the nominee to replace Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that you would ask Kavanaugh, that they will ask Kavanaugh during his confirmation hearings before the Senate here imminently, is your question, whether the president can pardon himself. I expect Kavanaugh won't answer that question. Generally, these proceedings are sort of a joke. But that's going to be a big question. And ultimately, if there's a 5-4 block, which we expect mm-hmm. in the Supreme Court, if Kavanaugh joins the court, that's a key question. If these issues come up before the Supreme Court, one big concern among anti-Trump advocates is it proper for someone who has already expressed in prior writings. Kavanaugh wrote in 2009 in a Minnesota Law Review article that the president should have wide-reaching powers and shouldn't be bogged down in these kind of things. So a lot of people who are opposing Kavanaugh are saying because he might be a deciding vote in these questions, whether the president can pardon himself, whether he has to answer subpoenas, that Kavanaugh either shouldn't be on the court or at worst, should recuse himself from that story. So there's lots of interesting legal elements to
and
that
no
question.
And no other president has ever pardoned himself before. That was the allure of Donald Trump. He's doing a lot of stuff that no president has ever done before, and people wanted to shake it up. Here's
correct.
Your shakeup.
I think you're exactly right. I think what you're saying, you know, despite the fact that we, on the legal analyst side and on your show, we like to talk about, you know, these little convenient things like the law and the rules and what's right. I think the appeal of Trump will continue to be that he doesn't really play by those rules. And it doesn't matter whether anyone has ever pardoned themselves before. I think most Trump supporters certainly, and many in the general public will feel that these issues don't rise to the level of impeachment, and this is Trump. This is what we elected him for, to your point.
We need to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break, and then there's more to discuss. Rich Lenkoff is here.
Back talking to Rich Lenkov. We don't have a lot of time, Rich. Your podcast is called Legal Face Off. You can find that at WGN Plus and wherever your favorite podcasts are found.
That's all true. Yes, we're taping it today. We've got Gary McCarthy on about his mayoral bid and two former Supreme Court clerks talking about Kavanaugh and lots of other breaking legal news.
Very good. In the time we have left, let's discuss this Puerto Rican shirt story. It's a very interesting one.
Yeah, we just learned that they have filed hate crime charges, which is an elevated charge, obviously, against Timothy Tribus, who we all saw in that video.
A lot of hate involved there. Maybe alcohol-inspired, but still a lot of hate.
Yeah, no question. He has a previous conviction for abuse, but...
tell the story. If people don't know the story, tell a little bit.
Yeah, the story is there was a young lady who was wearing a Puerto Rican flag shirt in the Forest Preserve here in Cook County. She had reserved the spot for a birthday, and we saw a video of this 63-year-old gentleman, Timothy Tribus, who was
very belligerent.
Very belligerent, was in her face, was saying, you know, you shouldn't be wearing that shirt. Are you a citizen? Just berating her for, you know, about three or so minutes.
And if you watch the video, you really expect him to come and either shove her or put, she claimed, you know, I'm uncomfortable here. And then she zoomed to a police officer who was on duty who did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, almost worse than the assault by this bigot was the lack of action by the Forest Preserve officer who has since been terminated. He initially resigned, then they called it a termination. Yeah, he's seen on video doing nothing, literally walking away.
All he had to do was go to the guy and go, come on, buddy, let's get out of here.
Right.
That's all he had to do.
Yeah, he's now said that he was responding to another call. It certainly doesn't look like that on the video.
He's standing there.
He literally almost willingly ignores her. And, you know, when her brother comes up to finally confront this idiot, the police officer then deals with the brother. And she says on the video, well, why are you now reacting to my brother instead of the 4-minute rant that we just saw? So I think hate crime charges are quite appropriate. I think that they are appropriate given the substance of what we saw, but also the message that we need to send to people like this, that it's completely abhorrent to act that way.
So that determination, because obviously the penalty is greater if it's deemed a hate crime. So who's making that decision? A judge is making that decision, and based on what exactly?
So the state's attorney has brought the elevated charges. They moved up from assault and disorderly conduct to class 2 felonies, which carry, as you mentioned, 2 to 5 years in prison. The state's attorney makes that call to raise the charges. And then, like anything else, the defendant can either plead guilty or plead not guilty.
Can
and then
you
they
appeal
would go through
that,
the trial
though, Rich? Can you say, look, no. I there was an assault, but it was not a hate crime.
You can't appeal that. Your remedy is that you fight the charge and you plead not guilty.
Yeah.
But the decision as to whether to charge a person with a hate crime is solely up to the discretion of the prosecution.
All right. Alarming in several respects, mostly for the person who was there and said, "No, I had another case I needed to solve. I couldn't possibly
a
forest preserve.
That's awful.
I mean, what was there, a squirrel stealing nuts? I mean, how serious could the other situation have been?
I know. And the video does show him just kind of mulling past, just kind of
standing there.
Lots of calls in this.
In the wake of this, lots of calls to disband. And there have been calls in the past to disband this police force that is, you know, a dedicated police force, part of Cook County, but dedicated to the Forest Preserve. They have responded that these officers are not only law enforcement officers, but also de facto park rangers, so they're necessary. Tony Preckwinkle, who's the Cook County chairperson, has defended not these actions, certainly, but the police force in general, but calls to question whether you need these individuals if this is how they're acting to the situation.
Yeah.
Just please get out of people's faces. Just mind your own business.
I'll tell you, she was a lot more reserved than I would have been, than I think most people. I think she would have been justified in just popping this guy.
Yeah, maybe. Rich, thanks so much for being
here. Thank you.
I really appreciate this. And again, if people want to hear the podcast, how do they do that?
Check it out on WGN.com, WGNplus.com, and we're on, as Wendy mentioned, everywhere you listen to your podcast.
Excellent. That's Rich Lenkov. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're headed to the stream. We'd love to have you join us there. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.